Now we're going to read a section of the Word, a chapter, if you want, and we'll put it up here at Psalm 62. Well, I see my spacing or whatever got a little funky there, but that's okay. If you want to remain standing, you can do that. If you want to sit down, you can do that. But I'll read this from Psalm 62, and you can follow along. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And reward everyone according to what they have done. Thank you. Sit down, Zacchaeus. How many of you know what a wuzzle is? A wuzzle. Oh my goodness. Well, I get an opportunity to teach then today. A wuzzle is a word puzzle. I think you've seen them in the newspaper or someplace. Here's a wuzzle. That's a wuzzle. Who knows what that means? I understand. Okay? I understand. You see it? That's a wuzzle. Here's another wuzzle. Okay, there. I understand. Yeah, okay. Now, here's another wuzzle. Say it again. I'm beside myself. I'm beside myself. Kind of fun. Okay. Now I want to be careful. Okay. Here's another wuzzle. Oh, that blue E should be up there. Oh, my goodness. Well, that kind of, you know, the way I did it on the computer isn't the way you're seeing it, but there are 10 of them. Who knows what this wuzzle is? And I'm going to give you an awesome hint in just a moment. But someone know what this is? Don't blurt it out. Just raise your hand. Huh, pardon? You know Dan? Okay. Here's my hint. I think Dan does know it. The hint is sneakers. Tennis shoes. All right? Tennis shoes, right? That's a wuzzle. All right. Some of you are still saying, what? All right. Well, I had fun sharing a number of wuzzles, and particularly I remember that wuzzle. I had fun sharing this with some high school kids in the city, in, for me, what was the big city. It was the winter of 2004, and we were in the Twin Cities. And I had pastored for 27, 28, 29 years, something like that. And then I found myself without work, out of a job. Donna didn't have a job. I thought, well, maybe I might substitute teach. But we were now in the big city. Donna and I grew up in a town. We grew up in the same town. We grew up next door to each other for the last few years of high school. We grew up in a town half the size of Madison. And I remember how much fun we used to have when we learned we had a sub coming to teach. You know, oh, we're gonna have a good time today, you know. And I was scared to death. I was really scared. We're in the Twin Cities, and I might be subbing. And I was in some of those tough city classrooms that I used some wuzzles with the students, and they liked them. Or maybe it was just that it was better than getting right on to the lesson, you know. come on, keep doing those, you know. But it worked. We in those days, we didn't know how we would pay the bills. We didn't know how we'd make the house payment. We were now in our 50s, and it wasn't supposed to be this way, you know. That isn't the way it's supposed to work out. And I had issues, at least 10 issues. And more, and I'm not talking about sneakers there. We had a couple that spent a lot of time with us, or that we spent a lot of time together with that winter, and I had a good friend who had a whole litany of issues of his own across the years, and we hung out and we talked a lot in those lonely, confusing months in the winter of 2004. And if you and I had been friends back then, I mean, if we were that kind of friends, you might have asked me if I wanted to talk about any of it. Oh, and as it turned out, we met with a wonderful Christian counselor. He was a gift from God to us. I'm sure I've probably mentioned him once or twice already in past messages. We spent over 10 sessions with him, maybe beginning in November of 03 or something, on in through the spring of 04. And we talked a lot. Would you have wanted to talk with me back then? Would you have asked me, hey, Bruce, you want to talk? You want to talk about it? And how about you? You want to talk about it? You want to talk? I mean, some of the stuff that you're going through these days. If I knew some of the stuff that you've been going through, some of the gut-wrenching things that you might be wrestling with these days, I might ask you, do you want to talk about it? There's someone right there who'd like to talk about it. Someone's saying, you want to talk about it now? So, you know, maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's concerns about school, and we were praying about kids going to school, young people heading off to school. Maybe it's something to do with some friends or some people that you thought were friends. Maybe it's hassles at home. Maybe it's uncertainties in a relationship. Maybe it's some uncertainties about God, you know? Stuff. Issues. But does it do any good to talk? Does it do any good to talk? Does it help to talk? Well, I think it can do tremendous good. I think it can do tremendous good. The ability to talk, the ability to listen, the ability to communicate is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. I think this amazing ability we have to communicate is part of what it is. It's a significant part of what it is to our having been created in the image of God. And so this morning I want to talk with you. I want us to talk about trust talk. We hear a lot about trash talk, and as we move into football season, we'll hear more about trash talk. I'm not sure what trash talk really means, other than it's usually associated with some players, some people who really get loud, you know, and who know how to get in the face of other people. And it usually has to do with all kinds of junk and with putting people down. And it's just a bunch of silliness and stupidity, and it's a bunch of jabber. But we're going to talk about conversing that serves to increase our trust in God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about trust talk. Okay? God speaks with us in Psalm 62, and I want you to think with me about what that chapter has to say to us about trust talk. First of all, let's consider this. First of all, let's consider talking trust to ourselves, or trust talking to ourselves. Okay? Psalm 62, 1 through 4. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. So we talk to ourselves about trusting God. I hope that most of us do that. We talk to ourselves about trusting God, and then we talk when things don't seem to be adding up. And maybe when we're kind of wondering about trust a little bit and wondering how our trust is going and if we're really trusting. So verses 1 and 2 up there are a statement of trust and of confidence and those kinds of things. We trust in God, of course. But then problems and trials and stuff comes our way, things we don't understand. Stuff like what we read of there in verses 3 and 4, assault and intentions to throw people down, and weakness and vulnerability, and intent to topple people, and delight in lies, and a heart of cursing, and so on. The message reads, how long will you gang up on me? How long are you going to gang up on me? David knew what it was to have people hunt him down, wanting to kill him. We too live in an evil, unsettling, dangerous world. As the Olympics began this year, I saw a news report or read something, and then I remembered and was reminded that it was 40 years ago that the Israeli Olympic team was massacred in Munich. And I remember as a young person watching that on television, watching the masked people and some of the attacks and so on. Just a few weeks ago, we had that horrific shooting at the in the theater out in Colorado. Last week, the shooting in a worship center out in Wisconsin. And sometimes the attacks come in other ways. Friday, I had the privilege of attending the Global Leadership Summit Thursday and Friday, And Friday at the summit, Jim Collins spoke about his wife's cancer. And Carly Fiorina spoke of she didn't spend much time, but she used to be the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, and she was unjustly cut out of that leadership position. Then she went through a long bout of cancer, and then she talked about the untimely death. I think it was the suicide of her daughter. And at times it's people in the workplace or in the neighborhood or even in the family or even in church that can seem to be in an attack mode. We read in Psalm 62:3, how long will you assault a man? And we read that, and then faces appear in our nightmares, someone at work or someone at church or someone in the community. Do you see the contrast? Do you see the tension between verses 1 and 2 and verses 3 and 4? I think there's real tension if we're going to talk trust and trust ourselves. We need to acknowledge that tension. We trust God, but we have a hard time understanding some of the things that are going on in our lives. And it causes us to talk to ourselves, and it causes us to hopefully be honest about some of the inner wrestlings that go on in our minds and in our guts. After his wife's cancer and after their daughter's suicide, Carly Fiorina's husband lost his faith, chucked his faith for a time, for a time. Now listen to David's self-talk as he repeats verses 1 and 2. Now he's talking to himself, at least it sure seems that way to me. He's talking to himself, he addresses himself, "Oh my soul," I'm talking to myself now. Verse 5, "Find rest, oh my soul," Bruce, get this, "Find rest, oh my soul, in God alone. My help comes from him. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." Our souls do need rest, don't we? Don't we? We need rest from striving. We need rest from questions. We need rest from disappointments, things that don't add up. Find rest in God alone, or silently wait for God. My salvation and my hope come from him. My salvation and my hope come from him. We live in a day in which many people are longing for hope, looking for hope, hoping for hope, feeling hopeless. In my work at the hospital, I have so often shared, even as I have here, Romans 15:13, that I finally asked Donna if she would laminate some little cards for me that I could hand out to people when it seemed appropriate. Remember how that starts? May the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might be overflowing with hope. The God of hope, he is my rock. He is my rock and my salvation. I will never fear. I will not be shaken ever. And in the 46th Psalm, he says, "Be still and know this." Know who God is. He's talking to himself. "Be still and know this. Even if the mountains are thrown," if the mountains, if the physical universe, if the mountains are thrown into the heart of the sea, if everything is scrambled up and crashing down and not making sense, even then my salvation and my honor depend on God alone. God alone, God only. That's repeated a number of times. So along with David, we need to talk to our souls. We need to assure ourselves that in God we find rest and quietness and strength and confidence. It makes a great difference in life when we've talked trust to ourselves. But it's not just a matter of talking to ourselves. We're also talking about talking to one another, about trust talking to one another. David, as often is the case if you read in the Psalms, he's very honest about problems and about stuff that is heavy and stuff that doesn't make sense. But oftentimes he'll move from those problems to trust in God, and he's talked to himself, and he's talked much with God. He's heard from God. He's finding strength in God. So now David challenges others to trust God. Trust in him. Verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Trust in him at all times, people. Now we're talking to one another, okay? David tells us to do this. Many other people encourage us to do this. We need to talk to one another. We need to tell our stories. We need to share the scriptures. We need to help one another trust in God, always. We need that in those hard times when you find nowhere else to go. So the other day, these last few days, Thursday and Friday, I had the privilege of hearing from many leaders of renown, of international renown, and a number of them talked to us this way. Condoleezza Rice quoted Abraham Lincoln, who said, Often I have fallen on my knees, for I have nowhere else to go. That's how Condoleezza Rice is talking to 80,000 people across this country and another 80,000 this fall as it goes international. And she's talking to all those people, but Abraham Lincoln's been talking to her and so on. In those hard times, and in those times when things are going well and you're really feeling pretty good about how things are going and everything is, you know, seeming rosy, and when we're strongly, in those times it seems we're strongly tempted to trust in our own abilities, to trust in our job, or to trust in our reputation, or to trust in our resume, or you name it. We get tempted to trust in our bank account, to trust in all of these different things. The word here, and what we need to say to one another is God alone. God alone. Trust in God alone. No one or nothing else can we ultimately trust in. Verse 9, low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed in a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Trusting ultimately in people is not a good idea. And it's not satisfying. You know, and understand, I'm not saying we shouldn't be trustworthy and we shouldn't trust in others, but ultimately trusting in an ultimate sense in people is not a good idea, for they are a puff. They're a mere illusion. Ultimate answers are not found in candidates or in parties, nor in having and making the right connections, in doing all the networking and all of that. People are not the answer. Pastors and spouses and friends can all disappoint. And then verse 10, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It's not a good idea to trust in riches, in the accumulation of wealth. Not in wealth gained via the lottery or via some questionable scheme. Not even wealth that is gained by good, sound business practices and all our hard work. It's dangerous, it's wrong to do crime, and it's equally perilous, and maybe more so, to trust in our ability to make money, to become wealthy. People. The encouragement is this: trust God at all times. Talk to one another about the importance of trusting God. Now, when you do this, listen to this. I want to say, well, let's not do this tritely. Let's not do this lightly and tritely. We need to have a word of honesty and caution. It's not an easy matter. And oftentimes it's not without struggle. It's not this, trust God and woo, everything will be just fine. That's not reality. And that's not what we're being taught here. It may not be okay. Everything may not be just fine. Circumstances may continue for a time to be lousy, but it seems that we learn the best, we lean the hardest on God, and we find Him when times are hard and when answers are few. And the best is not in answers or resolution. God is the best. That makes sense? The best is not in getting it all worked out. The best is not in resolution coming. The best is finding God. It may not be easy. It might be awfully hard and very good as you seek and find that God is there. You know, Condoleezza Rice was serving the president and serving our country during 9/11. She served in several very high capacity leadership positions. And I was very impressed to hear her on Thursday refer to how often she found herself back in Romans chapter 5 and how it encouraged her regarding the privilege of being involved in struggle. Romans 5, the privilege of being involved in struggle, because God uses that for our growth and our maturity and our best. It's good. It's good. It's really good to talk honestly with one another, to talk trust with one another, to remind one another ultimately, our trust needs to be in God. And then we want to talk today about talking trust to God Himself. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. There's a friend of our church, of our family here in Madison, not with us here now for a while, but we'll be back, who spoke with some of us men about crying out to God during an incredibly gut-wrenching time in his life. And he impressed upon us what a heavy, difficult, crying out time it was to God. Desperation. Linda Hodge is a pastor's wife. I didn't know them well, but years ago I remember meeting her husband. I knew him. We shared together in the same community. Her youngest son got all messed up on drugs. The police got involved. It affected their marriage. It affected their ministry. It affected their life. And another friend I met along the way, John Vauder, has written about this, shared their story in his organization called You're Not Alone. Linda now talks to other parents about talking with God. I want you to listen to her honest thoughts about talking to God, about trust talking to God. So Linda says this: to keep on going, I knew I had to spend a lot of time with the Lord and in His Word. I had learned early in our marriage that my husband, who was a pastor, could not always be there for me. This was certainly true during this time. I learned that there is no human being that can be there for you and to meet that gut-level heart and soul-wrenching pain that is within you. So I was with the Lord a lot. In fact, I was intensely focused on Him. And when I was in His Word, I came across a verse I had known for a long time, and I'll bet a lot of you know it too. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful. And I thought, that's a bunch of garbage, Lord. Keep on praying no matter what happens, and always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The Lord and I had really strong discussions, and I really discussed a lot with the Lord about this verse. I said, Lord, how in the world can I be thankful? What is there to be thankful for? And the Lord is so gentle and so kind, and through His Spirit, it was just like He was saying, why can't you be thankful? What do you mean, why can't I be thankful? I don't like what you are doing, Lord. How in the world can I be thankful for you are allowing our son to be on drugs? And another thing, God, I trusted you, and you let me down. How do you expect me to be thankful for that? And I spoke out loud and I said, Lord, you are simply a person I cannot trust. You are unworthy of my trust. I was absolutely shocked when those words came out of my mouth, she says. I realized that I thought for years that I was trusting him. But it was in situations in my life when I sort of had control of things and I could sort of fix things. I still had a hand in what was going on. This situation was way beyond any human control. And I realized that I could not trust God because I didn't feel He was trustworthy. Anybody who could do something like this to me for my good was definitely not trustworthy. I don't know how long I struggled with this matter of God being someone I couldn't trust, but I do know I really struggled. Finally, one soul-wrenching day, I verbalized out loud once again, God, I truly believe you are worthy of my trust, and you definitely know what you are doing. I want to thank you, Lord, for this very struggle. I want to thank you, Lord, for this very struggle, which has led me to really evaluate my level of trust in you. Pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God and listen to God. Verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. When it says this, one thing, two things, that's kind of a poetic, an Old Testament poetic way of speaking. And it says that God has spoken. And God has spoken, and we need to hear him again. And again, and again. And then talk with him about it. And so we do this kind of thing, talking with God, and certainly in our prayers and in the quietness and struggles and wrestling of our minds and hearts. We do it in our songs of prayer, of praise. We do it in laughter, and we do it oftentimes in lots of tears and anguish. God speaks his word to us. We hear, we take it to heart, we speak with him, we speak to him, we speak with him about it. We talk to ourselves about it, we talk to each other about it, about how good it is, ultimately, to find rest for our souls, to find a fortress, salvation, and a rock, and hope in God. So, you want to talk about it? God does. God does. In fact, he'd like to have lunch with you today. He'd like to meet with you often in what remains of the summer and on into the fall. And he'd like to talk about it. He says this. Catch this. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. There's a lot of talk that goes on when we share in that kind of fellowship. So let's pray about it. Lord, thank you that you have spoken to us, and that you are speaking to us even now, in this time right now today. And God, give us the wisdom and whatever else, the discipline, determination we need to talk about it. Talk to ourselves, talk to one another, talk to you. We thank you that this is possible. We thank you, God, that we are learning, that you are trustworthy. We thank you and we pray these things, Jesus, in your strong, saving name. Amen.